Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Houston is all systems go!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yeah. See, you guys can relate to this
because on the run.
You're lifetime Houstonians. So you know all the Astros songs of the past.
Yeah, Breathing Orange Fire is my favorite. Astros! Breathing Orange Fire! That was the one. That was the one from back in the day.
Was that from Wasp?
Huh?
Is that from Wasp?
Wasp? No. I got a tweet from a gentleman named Steve Kearns.
Okay.
He said, Barry, surely you two were drunk. You can't talk like this all the time, question mark. Or is it just when you're on the radio, question mark. Barry W. is the best. And I didn't know how to take this because I don't think Steve either missed the other segments where we talked about the general admiration that I have for Barry and Barry has for me and how you and Barry work together forever. And I don't think – so the only thing I could reply with is I don't think you understand what's going on. Like, we're busting Barry's chops because on his show earlier today – he literally called me out and busted my chops and said how ugly I was.
And not just that.
It's all in fun, bro. Steve, man, I don't know. He said, you know, his response to me was brilliant. Did you figure that all by yourself? Steve, man, maybe you need a nap, bro. I don't know. I don't know if you really understand. I don't know if this is your first time listening. I don't know.
Take a siesta, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I don't think you understand what's going on here. Joel has a new message on his cup. Warner's son.
Yep.
You think that was your Warner's son?
Oh, God, yeah.
Are you?
I don't know what the family dynamic is, and I know he does have at least one son, but I do realize on a daily basis whenever I get the call, because hello with Barry is a 30-minute conversation.
Yeah.
But I know that it either wraps up at some point with, love you, son, because you are like my son. All right. It's better than being – I've said this forever, ever since I got here. Like, because when I got to Houston, I came from Portland via the Midwest, had never been here before, knew nobody, and was introduced to Barry Warner, and then more so saw how he acted with other people and was like, who is that guy? And you found out in a hurry. He had a presence. He definitely will tell you that he had been here a while.
Yeah,
but that I mean, you respected him right off the jump.
I think he was on the boat with the Allen Brothers when they landed a Buffalo Bayou, when they founded the city.
Well, to your point, after he got with Abner Doubleday.
Yeah, and invented baseball.
When he basically covered Babe Ruth for the first 15 years of his career, I think. Because they were basically doing kind of like the Two Live Crew, but they were doing the train. Because that's how the teams traveled when they were rolling through the ladies. But I said this then, and I'll say it now. It's way better to have Barry on your side than against you, because
sure.
The one thing you don't want is when he's not busting your chops, like kidding around.
Yeah,
because when he dials in on you and you do something that violates one of the written or unwritten codes of the media, he will tear you apart, and he will go to the people that he knows at the organizations to make sure that they enforce whatever you did.
Oof.
Yeah,
it's kind of true.
It's very true.
It's kind of true.
Like, God forbid if you pissed Barry off and he was in the and suddenly he knows Reed Ryan.
Yeah.
He knows Tad Brown. He knows, I mean, Jamie Roots. And if he gets in an elevator going from the media room back and forth with one of those people and you have rubbed him the wrong way, I'm betting between the third and the fifth floor on the way up or down, he is undressing you and running you over the bus and backing it up and going back for seconds.
Nice.
Kind of like you with the whipped cream.
I don't know why he wanted to throw it on me.
I missed that part. I didn't know.
You didn't hear him? He goes, Lavinack, you're lucky it's open today or you'd be wearing that. Like, why? Like, I literally did nothing to him. I was the one that went up and was like, hey, Barry, good to see you, man.
Because I walked right past him.
I approached him and said hello and shook his hand, and you're going to be wearing that. I was like, dude, like, okay.
And the only thing that doesn't surprise me about that, because one, he would probably try and do something like that.
Yeah, he
like,
would.
Like, but here's the other thing. Until the last couple episodes with surgery, he was still playing hockey into his late 60s. He was playing rec hockey until his late 60s.
That's
and playing.
Insane.
He would
huge
tell
love
me,
for hockey,
I,
man.
I pulled a collarbone.
Yes, you did.
That's not good.
Now, Barry, don't
look
you
at
know?
Him. See?
What's wrong with you? You can't pull a bone.
Yeah,
Barry.
I know. Thank you.
Jeez.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Great.
Yeah. He's, I wish I could be active in my 60s. I don't think I will. I don't think I could do that, but yeah, that's my hope. I don't want to just be some crotchety old man on the couch.
I give him credit because it's not like he's just going for a jog. I mean, you're playing hockey, and even if you are, it is kind of like a slowed down version with maybe some older type guys. You're still on skates, which if you fall is hard, and then they still are checking to some degree.
Yeah.
It's a pretty rough sport.
Yeah, a lot of broken hips.
You would,
in his league.
Yeah.
A lot of broken hips.
Which means you don't walk again.
Yeah. Somebody said Barry Warner covered the Sermon on the Mount for the Jerusalem Times Journal. That was a text.
Shalom.
Hilarious. That was so funny.
That's good.
Oh, and God. We just need to do all Barry Warner jokes now for the rest of the day. Send in your favorite Barry Warner.
I said to Nick
jokes.
In the break, too. Like, I said to Lisa when I got home the other day, I know Barry's great at busting everybody else's balls, but he also gets very, very kind of testy sometimes if people mention him. Because people at other
Who?
Stations
Barry
like,
does?
Undress him
oh,
on the air
really?
Sometimes.
Who? Who? Who's picking on Josh Innes?
Josh Innes loves... Josh Innes... Barry Warner saved Josh Innes' life, and I'm not making that up one night. And yet, he is the butt of more jokes by Josh Innes, and I feel bad about that. I've actually tried to have a conversation with him about that to say, look... That's just not cool, bro.
I don't listen to Josh a lot.
I don't ever listen.
I've hardly listened since he's been back, and I don't think I listened to him before. But I feel like he's just trying to. He's like a poor man's Howard Stern, where he's just lashing out and saying things just to get the attention. And I like that's fine if that's your thing, bro. But like, if you don't know the dude, or you know, or you got a personal thing, I mean, okay, I guess, but. That doesn't make any sense, but whatever. I want to hear why, how the hell he saved his life. Because that.
He had some medical episode. He had no relatives. He had just moved here for the first time when he was working over at 610 and was really in kind of a precarious position in terms of he was really getting serious in a quick amount of time. And Warner just basically threw him in a car and rushed him over to the emergency room and stayed basically like overnight with him or in the wee hours in the morning and made sure, hey, look, if you need someone to vouch for him, if you need someone to sign, I can get his dad on the phone. We can do whatever we can do and did a lot of stuff. So, I mean, I know.
And now he's talking mess about him?
Yeah. Imitates him on the air and does
I heard
stuff.
That story from Joel and I was just as surprised.
Bro.
It's wrong, isn't
that's
it?
That's catty.
That is
like,
catty.
Yeah,
but
come
again,
on, man.
That shows you what kind of guy Barry is, too, because Barry's such a great guy. I mean, look. He's been. Yes.
Although I wouldn't want Barry Warner driving me to the hospital because then.
Well, back then he probably.
You're closer to dying by him driving you.
Oh, my God. That reminds
than whatever
me.
You had going on.
That reminds me just you saying that. But there's been two different times, not once now, twice now, when Barry has called me. Once it went to voicemail. He was leaving me a message and he got in a car wreck and I had the whole thing recorded. And the other one was live.
Wait.
Oh my God. And if I still had it, because you know you change phone
carriers. Is it hilarious or scary?
It was hilarious.
Okay.
Because Joel, Barry, call me when you. Oh God. Oh Lord. What are you doing? And he was just. And it goes on for like 5 or 10 minutes.
How
and,
did you not save that?
And I had it forever.
Why did you
find
it? It
was just hilarious. And I couldn't. I mean, when I changed phones.
Oh, bro.
Somehow it got lost. I think I broke something. Oh, yeah. And then you hear the person go, I'm really sorry, sir. Are you okay? Does I look like I'm okay? I mean, it was classic. text. I had it forever. And the other one, I'm live on the phone. What? And I'm going, Barry. And he's like, hold on, Joel. You're under the sea. Oh. And he just keeps going. Just twice. What? Barry is an awful driver.
Why did you throw that away?
Something happened
God,
with the transferring
for
of
that.
Phones and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was one I would have put That's to tape hilarious. Or something, so I had it forever.
Well, I know we meant to talk Romo, so we have to do that, but that is so funny.
Yeah, so we'll get to it next segment. Romo, if you haven't heard by now, climb out from under your rock. Romo has announced, or at least they are announcing, that he is retiring. Now, there's a couple of curveballs to this story, or potential curveballs. One is he just tweeted on his own at Tony Romo site, him in a CBS blazer, and it says, I guess it's time to start dressing up. As the rumor is also that he will replace Phil Simms with Jim Nantz on the A team or the one team for CBS NFL coverage. Also, out of Cowboy Country, Jerry Jones has kept his word supposedly and has released Tony Romo. Which means there is no, and he said, and will not hold on to or attempt to have any future rights to Tony Romo, which, if Tony wants to throw a curveball back, could be now he really could, if he changes his mind, pick wherever he wants to go, destination and otherwise. So plenty to get to, plenty to think about, plenty to ponder as we continue to roll on. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can hit us up on Twitter. You can call 713-780-3776 to get in on the show by a phone, or you can text that number and we'll get your text as well. The usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 continue to roll on. We will get to the news of the day because it is still important, though we know it's been beat to hell all over the marketplace since news broke that Tony Romo is going to retire and move into the broadcast booth. And there's some issues that pop up with all of this. But the interesting thing I teased before we went to break is, one, the Cowboys are going to release him.
Yeah.
And not keep anything future in terms of future rights to him. So if he would choose to change his mind, he could go wherever he wanted. Two, Phil Simms, odd man out and really left hanging in the wind. He goes from the A-team, the number one team with Jim Nantz, to basically the worst-kept secret in broadcasting, that he's out, Romo's in. No one knows where he's going, if he's gone, if he's coming back in a different role or on a different team. All we know is CBS has said nothing, but yet Phil's kind of scratching his temple going, wow, what happens to me?
Not that I want to start another day of who's your favorite broadcaster or broadcasting duo, but I'm okay with Phil Simms never calling another game.
Yeah, there's a lot of Twitter
his
hate
voice
for Phil Simms.
Grates on me. Like, I can't listen to the way he sounds. Not even how he calls the game or his insight. It's just how he sounds bothers me so much.
I don't mind how he sounds, but you know, a lot of times he says things as an ex-player and a quarterback, you'd think he'd just have his finger on the pulse of everything football. Sometimes he says things that are just like really outlandish, and you're going, seriously?
I mean,
Cam Newton, everybody gives him credit, and this is a crazy thing too. So Sean McManus at CBS after the Super Bowl, because he took a lot of criticism, was complimentary and continued to be complimentary in the entire offseason, stating how this was why CBS won the Emmy for live television, because him and Jim Nantz and everybody that comes to the table brings such great insight. He broke down play after play and he gave examples. Well, in the same game, when you go back and look at it, Cam Newton threw a pass that went right, you know, basically it was a long pass, but it went right through the receiver's hands. And he goes, see, that's the problem when you got a quarterback like Cam Newton that just, you know, he doesn't know how hard he's throwing it. And he just throws it way too hard that the receiver just has no chance of catching it. And it went right through both, like hit him in a bad spot, like right between the palms of both hands. And you're like, I don't think, it wasn't like it was 2 feet away. He's throwing a 40-yard out, you know, a 40-yard down and out. And it hit him in a bad spot, and that's because he threw it too hard.
And the hands apparently are a bad spot.
Jeez.
I mean, for me, his voice, the way it sounds, it. I would liken it to somebody like Fran Drescher, the nanny, like calling a game. Yeah. Like, that's what it sounds like to me. It's just like, I can't listen to this.
as much as I want to. Because I don't even – that's the thing is I couldn't tell you how good or bad he is at his play calls, because if he's on, I'm not. I'm changing the channel.
That's me with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
Is it really? Yes, neither one of those guys bother me much at all. So, yeah, he's the odd man out. Before we continue with the Romo talk, a couple of people are texting in Barry Warner's old jokes.
Okay.
Somebody said Barry used to report for the Coliseum, from the Coliseum, for the Roman Times.
On a piece of slate. Yeah.
He's like, I got a tablet due by noon.
he was chiseling out his story.
Barry Warner's first car had two horses. I had two horsepower, Buttercup and Sally.
Got him!
That's good stuff.
Those were not the two horses as signing bonuses for Odor's no deal with the Rangers?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so the other thing is this leaves your Texans in a very precarious position, because I think a lot of people had their eggs in that basket, and now where do they go from here? It's not about, like, of course they can draft a quarterback. It's not a great quarterback draft, as we've highlighted, but also it's rare if, and I think O'Brien even last week at the owners' meetings was very outspoken in saying, I don't believe in starting a rookie quarterback. So whoever you get's not going to be your starter day one. Right now they're listing Savage as your starter for day one, for game one of the regular season. But with all that being said, Whedon, Savage, only two quarterbacks on the roster. Even if you draft one, you would think that he has to at least kind of kick the tires on whatever veterans are out there, whether it be via trade or free agency. Jay Cutler is out there. Colin Kaepernick's out there. RG3's out there. None of those excite me in the least. Cutler maybe the best of all three.
I was going to say, Cutler's probably would be my number one choice point for them to go out and get. Again, we talked about it before. Mm-hmm. These are Band-Aid options. This is not a long-term solution. And with Romo off the table, you know, I mean, look, let's face it. The Texans played chicken. It's what they did. They played free agent chicken. They didn't go out. They saved all their money. They were very passive in free agency. And it's like, reminds me of the that scene from Footloose when they're on the tractors and Kevin Bacon is starting off all right. And then he's like, he realizes that other dude's not turning, you know. And so he starts to try to get off the tractor and his shoelace is caught. I think that's kind of how this has gone, is they wanted to do something, and then they started playing chicken with Jerry Jones, and, you know, they're trying to jump off the tractor, but they end up being the tractor that goes in the ditch. That's the only problem, is Kevin Bacon won that round. The Texans did not at this point. It looks like they've lost, and they have nothing to show so far for free agency because of it.
Yeah, and that really is what worries me the most, is the fact that they don't have any other options, and they basically – even if you're planning for the draft right now, there is no other option that makes anybody feel good or better than they felt a year ago. Yes, you have Brock Osweiler's contract out of the way, but as you've said and highlighted several times on this show, they have done nothing. They have not signed one free agent other than re-signing their backup tight end. So other than what have you done?
Punter.
And I'm sorry, and their kicker and their punter. You're right. So there's three in the books that you got to be happy about. But now it's what are you going to do next? And do you trade for an A.J. McCarron? And isn't that basically stating that it's kind of the poor man's Brock Osweiler? Because he really has never gotten a chance to even get a sample size from. Do you try and pry Garofalo, who's going to be held for King's ransom by the Patriots, if they even consider trading him at all? What are your other options? Because right now it looks like you've played chicken until you got stuck in the corner and you can't get out.
But A.J. McCarron, I mean, was he at anywhere near as inaccurate as Brock Osweiler? You throw out that name and it kind of, I mean, is it that bad of an option considering who's available?
There's a lot of people that think he can play, but he's played behind Andy Dalton. We don't know because he hasn't gotten six or eight games to start consistently where you can at least have some tape on him and really go over some things. But, you know, a lot of people that are talent evaluators state he has talent.
Yeah, but that's what they said about Ryan Mallett. That's the thing. The Texans are caught in this infinite loop of chasing. You know what I mean? They chased Ryan Mallett. Then now they're going to chase A.J. McCarron. They're going to chase Jimmy Garoppolo. And all of this, they chased Brock Osweiler. And all the stats and everything and all these, you know, everyone said Brock could be a good quarterback. So could Ryan Mallett. And look how both of those guys turned out for this organization. The only difference between the Broncos and the Texans right now is the Broncos also play chicken, but they have Paxton Lynch sitting there waiting to go too, who at least they have some depth with Simeon and then Paxton Lynch
for young quarterbacks, right? Like, people think Paxton Lynch might actually be a player in this league one day.
Absolutely.
So they're in a better position even than the Texans are, because the Texans have Savage and Brandon Whedon. And I don't think, to a person, no one thinks Tom Savage is a starting quarterback in the NFL. He can't stay healthy, and when he was in, he was meh. I mean, he was okay.
Right.
He wasn't a guy who was going to lead a franchise. So the Texans are literally in worse shape than the Broncos are when both of them played the same game.
Now you got, and the other side of the equation is, too, you played chicken thinking that you would have the upper hand in any negotiations that you would get into. Now everybody's got it on you. They hold all the cards, and they're going to hold A.J. McCarron at a pretty high price because they know you're screwed. You have no one right now.
Yeah, good luck trying to get Garoppolo from the Patriots.
Right. That's going to be a first King's and ransom. Whatever else they want.
Yeah, it'll be a King's ransom.
Are the Texans up in the value on some of these quarterbacks, or is it just teams in general that's inquiring about
them? There's a lot of teams that think that A.J. McCarron one day could start in this league. But again, you've already been down that road.
They
I'll tell you what. Make the trade for him and give him $34 million guaranteed for the next 2 years. Let's see how he does. Yeah. Oh, we've been down that road before. And by the way, before you get to your business, Barry, I was just followed by Jewish radio legend. I swear to you, it's a black and white picture of Warner with the same bald top, but very much darker beard and side wreath. And it says, traditional trained journalist squashing douchebag guy talk radio. It's talk radio, not text radio and tweet radio. This is a parody account, idiots.
The trolling has begun.
Yes. And that is the picture of Barry Warner.
That's hilarious.
There you have it.
Yo, Adrian said, when God said, let there be light, Barry Warner yelled out, chirp!
That might have been the best one yet.
Lenny said, when Barry Warner was born, the Dead Sea was just sick.
Those are fantastic.
Oh, and Steve Kearns is still like tweeting me about, I don't know. He's using words with, what's the little apostrophe above the letter? What's that called? That's a technical term for that. There's a, what is that
an
called?
Accent?
Basically, he's used a bunch of words with accents, so I'm already out when I'm finished reading it. I can't. Those are fancy words, Steve. I don't do fancy words, all right? Okay, guys, I'm going to tell you about Gulf State Home Buyers. If you need to sell your house and you need to sell it quick, like you need that money now, you need to call Gulf State Home Buyers. Because when you call them, they're going to be like, no problem, we'll buy it, and they'll even make you a cash offer. If you're trying to get out of your house and get out from under it and do so fast, and you can't because you've got back taxes, delinquent HOA dues, maybe you're going through a divorce, bankruptcy, foreclosure, maybe you lost your job, don't worry. Give Gulf State Home Buyers a call, 281-717-6100, and let them help you. They make you a cash offer. They handle all the paperwork from the beginning of the process all the way through the closing. All you got to do is make that call, then sit back, relax, and chill, and let their professionals do the work for you. They have attorneys. They have title companies. A whole in-house staff of professionals that are going to show you a stress-free way to sell your home. 281-717-6100. Give them a call. Get a clear understanding of your situation from the titles, title issues you have, all the way through a quick closing, and figure out how all that's going to work. They'll answer your questions, but you got to call them first. Gulf State Home Buyers, 281-717-6100, or hit them up on the web, gulfstatehomebuyers.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Well, you know you're rarefied air when the legend is listening, because I got the following text in the break.
Uh-oh.
Joel, it was 1956 as a gopher in Buffalo, Joel. Only the first...
Was that the first time he got laid? Is that what he was texting about?
It was 1956 as a gopher,
Laminack.
And I was drunk. Don't hold it against me.
Shalom. It wasn't the last time. No, but actually the first text said, started in 1956 as gopher in Bogley. And I went, what? Bogley? And he went, met Buffalo.
That's crazy, man. 1956. That was before TV.
Okay.
Some history there,
like,
man.
I really think that was before TV. Somebody texted us, said, Barry Warner said, hey, Adam and Eve, put some clothes on.
Okay.
Barry Warner helped Noah with the animals in the ark. All right. Keep them coming.
Nick, tomorrow, I need the audio.
Yeah.
Get it.
Somebody said contraction. Oh, Chris from Beaumont. Contraction is the word you're looking for, Barry. No.
No, it's not.
Chris, I know what a contraction is. I looked it up at the break, and it's either called an acute accent or a French-derived adjective, passé. Yeah, so when you have words with those acute accents
so kind of,
or
kind of
passés
right.
above them, I'm not reading your text or tweet. So, not a contraction.
Okay.
But thank you, Chris and Beaumont. Nice try.
By the way, did you guys see the new wall installed in the press box honoring Bagwell in the Hall of Fame?
I didn't.
I missed that.
Astros just tweeted. I'll retweet it.
I did like the field without the hill and the stupid ass flagpole.
I said that to you, but did you notice it's kind of just to me, it's the only thing I noticed, and not that it's a negative, it's just the symmetry. There's not a lot of balance out there. Like, because you got the one.
What are you,
the one,
feng shui? What are you?
You got the hitters green deal. You got the tower with the H and the star on top of it that lights up. But it's like everything's over on the right side, and there's just like a big open space on the left. I just thought it'd be,
your OCD
be balanced.
Bothers
to
your OCD a little bit?
It doesn't bother me like that. No.
I think they should put Christmas lights on that big green wall. I think they should hang some.
I think hitters would really love that.
I think
that.
They should put some like blinking Christmas, like orange and white Christmas lights on the H and the star and everything.
I think MLB,
I think that'd
should
be pretty sweet.
Just advertise with a white banner like they did in the Cubs Cardinals game. Only just put it right there in center field and see how the hitters can find the ball in that white signage. That'll work out well.
When Benjamin Franklin flew the kite, you know, the key?
Yes.
That was to Warner's apartment.
Oh, God. You guys need to stop.
All right,
that's enough.
Barry's getting them all.
That's enough.
That was pretty damn funny.
We had like, maybe six or seven funny of them.
Yeah. That one was funny. That's pretty clever. That's pretty hilarious because you have to know your history to get that, too. And from the 409. I'm double proud of that. You kidding me?
You're taking a shot at Beaumont there.
It's good stuff.
When Paul Revere was riding around saying the British are coming, Warner was the one that slapped the horse in the ass to get it going.
So, T.R. Washington said Barry Warner's the reason the dinosaurs died. What? See, not as good. I shouldn't have read that.
Now I took a dip, yeah.
Yeah, my bad. I shouldn't have read that.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to get your guys' opinion on was just the whole NCAA game last night. You guys, while you were at the baseball game and I was going back and forth, I really was looking forward to the game. And I was hoping for a great game. You know, obviously with our brackets, I had a bit of a vested interest. But overall, I was just hoping that 2-1 seeds didn't, you know, let anybody down, lived up to the hype. I kind of mentioned some of these stats, but overall, 44 fouls, 52 free throws in a 40-minute game, only 46 made field goals. 44 of the 44 fouls, 27 were in the second half. Both teams were in the bonus with more than half the second half left to play.
Ugh, I bet that made for
it
an ugly slow
was
game.
Awful. And here's the thing I've said, too. I know the NCAA, whether they want to admit it or not, they play these Final Fours in football stadiums because the revenue is just sick. And you have to buy a ticket. You can't buy it for just one session or the other. You have to buy it for both games. And then if your school loses, you know, that's on you. But they know all those tickets are sold. But the biggest problem you have is you get teams, especially if you get an underdog to get in there, that have played in Cracker Box gyms their entire season, 6,000, 7,000 seat arenas. Think about like a team like Butler or even a team like Gonzaga during the regular season that plays in a 6,000 seat gym. So that's basically the sign of Tudor Fieldhouse over at Rice. If that, right? And now all of a sudden, the biggest game of your life, you're playing in a 90,000-seat football stadium, and you get a half a day to practice in that gym, and you're expected to shoot the ball well? It was one of the poorest shooting percentages for two teams in an NCAA final. Both teams from three shot less than 21%, I believe. And there were several air balls that went clear over to the other side before kissing the glass.
Ugh. That's bad.
And they were good three-point shooters.
I was interested in seeing the Meeks versus Karnowski matchup. Yep. Did that live up to the hype?
No, because, Meeks, both of them were in foul trouble. But Not good. You get a lot. Gonzaga's top
the
three
box
bigs,
scores for them were ugly.
They're awful.
And Meeks, he gone, right? He's going to the NBA.
Yeah, he's done. He's a senior.
7 points, 10 rebounds for Meeks, 9 points, 9 rebounds for Karnowski. Or am I saying that right? Karnowski?
Karnowski, right?
that doesn't seem like it lived up to the hype. Now, again, I didn't watch it. I tried to watch it. I had set the DVR. I started watching it after I got home from the Astros game and fell asleep. And then when I woke up this morning at 10:30, I was like, I'm not watching
it. What did I miss on the stats? Because I want to get it. But, I mean, the graphics on
Gonzaga
TV
shot
were saying
42% from three.
Really?
They were 8 of 19. Yeah. You said both teams under 20.
Carolina was just
Carolina was
awful.
4 of 27 for 14.8%. Yeah, but Gonzaga,
maybe
Gonzaga
late in the game, they hit like
a- That's true. The barrage late in the game probably brought it up because during the game, both teams were shooting just horrendously from three.
Yeah.
But all three of Gonzaga's bigs had three or four fouls with 10 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah.
So it was ugly from that standpoint. And then you're going to get both sides of the equation. Gonzaga's going to bring there's a couple plays late in the game. Kennedy Meeks goes on the floor to tie up a Gonzaga player. While he's grabbing the ball, one hand is bracing himself out of bounds. Referee didn't see that.
Oh.
Gonzaga went to inbound the ball on the baseline. The guy's foot is clearly stepped way over the line. They didn't call that. One of the Gonzaga players airballs a three, goes out of bounds, and they said Carolina hit it. The replay clearly showed he didn't hit it. Karnowski goes to – there's a loose ball. They call a foul on Joel Berry. The replay shows there wasn't a foul, and then during the course of the fight to get to the ball, Karnowski reaches back and kind of gets his forearm under Barry's chin, pulls it away right away, goes and apologizes during a stoppage in play. They called it a flagrant one.
Wow.
So it was just – I hate seeing a game decided like that. But anyway, I digress. If you guys have comments, please let me know. Damon, we see you. We're going to come to you next. Before that, I want to get to Infuse Energy because they are a locally owned and operated company that it has all the situations that you have that come up when you need energy and an energy provider covered. They're going to take care of you because they're not going to screw you over to make a buck. They're not going to give you a percentage rate or a deal that works for you in the short term but really works for them in the long term. And then once your contract expires until you sign a new deal and are locked in for years and years, they're going to make it where the percentages go completely in their favor. That's not how they do business. One, like other energy companies, when you call, you get an automated system. You get customer service from a human being every single time. And right from the get-go, when you contact Infuse Energy, Josh Pesikoff and his staff, they're going to make sure you talk to someone who wants to really know and care about your energy usage. Do you use it during the day? Do you use it at night? Do you use it on weekends? And they'll make a plan that fits exactly what you need, whether it be a business or for your home personal use. They're never going to be anything but 100% honest. They use 100% green energy. It's all at your fingertips. And when you sign up, you choose a green plan that offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits. That helps decrease your carbon footprint. And overall, they're going to make sure that they take care of whatever problems arise and that they tailor make a program for your energy needs. It's Infuse Energy, 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732 or infuseenergy.com. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit. And like I said, make sure you contact them and just check it out. See if they can't help you get a better energy plan for your business or personal needs. Infuseenergy.com, 844-INFUSE2.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back. A Curious World of Disbelief is coming to Houston. Win two tickets to see Curious by Cirque du Soleil. Opening night, Thursday, April 6th at 8 p.m. Don't miss the most acclaimed Big Top show. The show will run from April 6th through May 21st under the Big Top at the Sam Houston Race Park. Tickets start at $35. You can log on to CirqueDuSoleil.com and get yours today. Or you can be caller number 10 and win a pair right now for April 6th. 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. Wins two tickets to Cirque du Soleil opening night, April 6th. Boom!
They should probably give us some on a day we're at Trailing Wheel and Frame because
I think I do want to get some for my wife because she likes to go to. I think she just likes.
Awesome.
I think she just likes to go and see all the bulges and the packages on the dudes and the tight pants. I think that's what she's really going for. Which
how
I'm
it
fine
all started
with.
When the two guys used to do the halftime shows all across the NBA games where they did that. Like, I don't have I have a rubber spine and they can do all that contorting. But half the deal is they're basically doing it naked while they're on top of each other. Chicks dig that,
do they?
I mean, they're wearing the, like you said, they got the,
Yeah. The tights.
The grapes are, you know, protruding out of the tights, and they're doing like, hey, I'm going to put my your knee in the back of my neck, and then I'm going to put you 6 feet in the air on one tiptoe.
What position is that called? Is that a position?
Yeah, it's called the same thing that you call that thing with the apostrophe.
A contraction?
Yeah.
That's called the contraction?
There you go. They're having a contraction.
Got a couple more texts from Barry Warner. Remembers when dirt was clean. All right.
Okay.
Looking back at the hieroglyphics of Cleopatra, Barry's the one waving the palm fan. Like that. I like these guys. Barry's so old, he has an autographed Bible. let's see. We got Barry's so old, he DJ'd at the Boston Tea Party. I like that. Barry was the waiter at the Last Supper. That's kind of an old one, but I'll allow it. I get it. And then Chris and Beaumont said Deadspin's title to their article about Romo is Tony Romo's retirement means the Texans are basically bleeped. Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's what we were saying. Like, they played chicken and lost. Now what? It's Jay Cutler or bust. Let's be real.
Yeah, unless or Kaepernick.
No. No.
Which I can't see. Because you know what? You
can take all the sideshow stuff away.
But let's face the facts. He's not even 35% of the quarterback he was when he had the Niners in the Super Bowl. I mean, he just he had tired arm last year. But as a football player, all other things aside, he didn't look anywhere near what he looked like when he was. If he did, he'd still be with the Niners. And he would have been starting last year for all, you know, majority, if not all the games. He's not the same quarterback. Cutler, look, I mean, he is what he is. I mean, there was an article I read a week and a half ago that said chances are no teams are even going to look at Jay Cutler, and he may just ride off into the sunset, not play next year. Now, suddenly, if there's anybody that's loving all this stuff with Romo retiring, it's got to be him, because he knows he's got to be in a pretty good situation. He'll probably make a pretty good penny, too, if he comes back.
Who would not want to see Jay Cutler over Tom Savage or Brandon Whedon?
That's a good question.
Who would not want to see that?
Are the Texans looking at this situation? They don't want to, you know.
I'm just saying.
Locker room cancer.
For 1 year, you're getting JJ back. Locker room cancers is kind of a I disagree with that to a certain extent, because you've got guys, and Joel used examples in basketball, where you've got guys that have come to teams and were supposed to be locker room cancers, but if you've got a strong enough locker room, it won't be. You know what I mean? Now, I get it. He's in a position of leadership as the quarterback, but at the same time, Jay Cutler coming to this team is not going to be the leader of this team. This is J.J. Watt's team. Let there be no mistake about that. You know what I mean? So J.J. Watt and DeAndre Hopkins and some of these other guys that are already established in that locker room are going to be the true leaders. So Jay Cutler may have issues, but this is J.J. Watt's team, and as he goes, so goes that locker room.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if the locker room cancer is a thing, but I would love for someone to come in and tell me that they would rather see Brandon Whedon and Tom Savage as opposed to Jay Cutler.
I agree with that, but I wouldn't call him a locker room cancer, Nick, but what I would say is he's a guy – he's not going to be, like, inflammatory. He's a guy that runs from any kind of controversy. He doesn't want to get – like Brandon Marshall, one of the most outspoken guys in the NFL in the last, 10 years, 15 years. Brandon Marshall had great years with him in Denver, but in Chicago, he couldn't stand the fact that he quit. He couldn't stand the fact that there wasn't that fire in his belly that said, I'm going down, but I'm going down giving you everything I got until I can't walk anymore. And, you know, we've talked about some of the games that he just packed it in. And yet, when Brandon Marshall called him out on it, he just turned and went the other way. So I don't think it's a cancer from the standpoint of he's not going to be a really bad guy in the locker room. He's the kind of guy that's going to quit on his team, or he may just, if he gets hit a couple times or throws a couple picks, be like, let someone else give it a shot.
Yeah, and he's also been a guy, and maybe a locker room cancer is a bad word, but he's also been a guy when things go wrong, like when he throws a pick, he goes to the sideline, and he looks like he's blaming everybody else on the team.
Yeah.
He pouts, and he's done it on the sideline numerous times. And I don't know how the rest of the team is going to react to it. Now, maybe it's not a locker room cancer, but I'm telling you, I've seen teams like the Chicago Bears. They don't like it when the quarterback blames everybody else. And that's exactly who Jay Cutler is.
I agree with you, but this team isn't – I mean, dude, this team had somebody on the roster that pouted a lot last year, DeAndre Hopkins. Look how poor he was last year.
But he handled it pretty well.
He pouted.
I was going to say, he's not the Brandon – I'm saying, for the most part, He could have blown up on the sidelines. He could. You could have had an Andre Johnson match job.
Didn't he storm off the field once? I mean, like. No,
I didn't see that. I don't remember that. I know that for the most part, he bit his tongue. Because I would talk to the guys that are in the locker room that said, man, when the microphones weren't on, he would vent a little. But he did a real good job of not saying what he. And bashing Brock and throwing him under the bus.
Dude, his route running was.
I'm not saying that. I mean,
he was quit on route.
Brandon Marshall would have been like. In his face, pointing at him, screaming at him, cussing at him, shoving him. I agree with you that it's JJ's team. And on defense, I think that's – if he played defense, that wouldn't be even be an issue. I think on offense, you don't have – Dwayne Brown might be the strongest personality in that huddle with enough backup from both experience and leadership to be able to say, come on, man, and pull it in. Because I just saw Hopkins as a guy that wasn't going to show him up or be vocal.
Hopkins was pouting because he didn't get the contract. And so, I mean, it was obvious. So, this team, that didn't seem to affect them, you know, in the locker room as far as the cancer goes. So, I don't know. I just think, yeah, if you want to say Cutler, he's got some quit in him, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure, he'll pout a little bit, but that's still better than Tom Savage, dude. Tom Savage is like a poor man's Tony Romo from the standpoint that he can't stay healthy, number one.
So he doesn't have the experience behind snaps starting games either.
It's almost like when I was saying, if you go out and get Tony Romo, just understand that what you're really saying is that we know at some point Tom Savage is going to be our starter because he's going to get hurt. If you roll with Tom Savage, what you're saying is at some point Brandon Wheaton's going to be our starter because Tom Savage is going to get hurt. It's the same thing. It's just even worse now.
But I also think that when DeAndre Hopkins, and I know we got to get to break, and I don't know if y'all want to take the caller, but...
Yeah, we'll get him at three.
DeAndre Hopkins, when he puts blame on people, it's different when a quarterback puts blame. Because there's a limited number of people he can blame as a receiver. The quarterback, he's got a number of players to blame. And I think that's a big difference. And DeAndre Hopkins, I was in the locker room. At least from a public standpoint, he didn't say anything.
That's what I was referring to.
But his play talked a lot, though. Perhaps.
His play talked a lot. To me.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, and as far as, you know, Cutler, I don't know. But
you make a valid point. I'd rather have him than anybody on their roster right now.
Yeah. I forgot. I was going to say something to Nick's point, but I forgot now. Damn it.
Just from, if it comes back to you, we'll get back to it. I mean, the biggest thing, though, is to your point, look, at least have a guy with a lot of snaps under his belt and starts under his belt in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
With a couple of teams.
I remember what it was. The thing about Cutler and, you know, because you were saying that he was blaming people and stuff like that. How do you know some of it wasn't their fault, though? That's the thing. I don't know. I didn't watch enough Jay Cutler, snap by snap to say that the people he was blaming weren't at fault. Because that's the thing. Sometimes you see quarterbacks get angry at their guys because the receiver made the wrong read or the wrong route or the line misses a block. Tom Brady will scream a dude down in a heartbeat.
Option routes. Common fans don't know what an option route is. That's when the receiver has the option to break, to cut it off or run it a certain way. If they're not on the same page and he does it the wrong way, it's not always on the quarterback too. But that's just, you know, something to be said too about something you got to factor in. And again,
I just find it funny when Jay Cutler does it, it's when Tom Brady does it, he's being a leader. When Jay Cutler does it, he's pouting if he were to scream at somebody. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's a double standard. That's
probably true.
I just want Jay back with the Bears ASAP. If we can get that done, I'd be very happy.
Joe's like, that would make me a happy man.
Just send him back to Chi-Town. All right, so Damon, we got a little caught up there. We're going to get you in. We see Troy calling. You guys are going to talk about a couple of different things, so we'll get you guys in. We got two in the books, one to go, one more hour of the show, so please be a part of it like Troy and Damon. If you want to join it, 713-780-ESPN for calls and texts. And, of course, you can hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
I get the last word, ESPN, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.